Well, you want to get out your outline so you can follow along with this morning's message. Going viral. You know, until recent years when I heard that expression, I thought of a spreading disease or an epidemic. But today, like you, I think of a YouTube video shared on social media. It can spread worldwide almost instantly. Careers have been launched. Stars have been born overnight. Of course, what goes viral one day on the internet is often forgotten the next. But today, we're learning about an item that went viral 2,000 years ago and is still going strong. It's part four in our series, Catching Fire, a series in the book of Acts showing how the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. The title of our message today is The Flame Goes Viral. If you're a Christ follower, you are part of a worldwide movement destined to take over the world and the whole universe. It is, as somebody might say, your destiny. And what's so awesome about it is that it's not just about sharing a funny video that might get some laughs. This is a life-saving rescue mission filled with adventure and meaning and purpose and sacrifice and incredible reward. It involves a lot more than just sharing a picture or a video on Facebook. It involves every fiber of your whole being throughout your whole life and into eternity. It's amazingly fulfilling because it's a cause much bigger than just your own life or your family or your career or even your country. It's the reason Jesus called you to be his follower in the first place. It's all wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else that I say, and I hope you're taking notes because you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. Going viral is what God does as we follow Jesus. Something he does as we follow him. Now you might be thinking, but I'm not a public speaker, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist or a Bible scholar who knows all the answers. I'm just Joe or Jane, typical Christian. Well, that's fine. That's good. Relax, because going viral for Jesus is all about regular Christ followers using what God gives each to burn brightly for him. It's all about just doing what God has equipped us to do. We're going to look today at three steps to going viral. The first one is point number one on your outline. Number one, Jesus recruits you. That's the first step. You know, if Jesus were talking to us today about the growth of his kingdom, he probably would compare it to a video going viral. But in his day, he compared it to a tiny mustard seed that grows into a huge plant. Now take a look at this very tiny seed in the palm of someone's hand. It's just a little crumb of a thing. No bigger than a tomato seed. In fact, it could get stuck in your teeth and you might not even know it. But take a look at how it grows, what it grows into. One of these giant redwood trees. You could drive a car through. They can put a tunnel that a car can fit through. This humongous tree started off as that tiny little seed. That's just incredible to me. Now, to give you some perspective, here's a depiction of a 10-story building next to a giant sequoia or coast redwood. Look at that. Look at how these trees just dwarf the 10-story building and that little apple tree over there that might be in your backyard. If Jesus had lived in California, he might have used a redwood to illustrate the growth of the kingdom. It started its advance just as a tiny little seed, and then it went viral into a huge worldwide movement. The phenomenal Jesus movement began 2,000 years ago with just one man. One man, Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in human flesh. When Jesus started his public ministry at age 30, he launched the invasion of God's kingdom into the kingdom of darkness. He was the only one. He was working alone at that point. And that kingdom invasion was all about taking back the captives that Satan had kidnapped. Look at Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. Help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Jesus was just all by himself when he started doing this, proclaiming this message and recruiting followers. He was telling people, the time's now, repent, believe. To some fishermen by the lake, we find this written, what Jesus did, Mark 1, beginning at verse 17. Jesus called to them, to these fishermen, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Though huge crowds came out to see Jesus, he actually only recruited a small group of faithful followers, people that were really serious about following him. Jesus recruited the 12 apostles. Eventually, that number grew to 72 disciples. We read about this in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 10. And by the time Jesus died on the cross and arose from the dead, there were 120 disciples in Jerusalem. Now, there were probably a few hundred others scattered in various places in Palestine. But after 3 years of ministry, Jesus only managed to bring together a core group in the city of Jerusalem, where he died and rose from the dead, of 120 faithful followers. Why only 120? Didn't Jesus perform jaw-dropping miracles? Yes, he did. Didn't he wow the crowds with awesome words and baffle his opponents in debate? Yes, he did. Didn't huge crowds follow him around like groupies follow around a rock star? Yes, they did. Then why, after 3 years of all that kind of thing, were there only 120 committed followers in Jerusalem. Well, one reason is that Jesus didn't sugarcoat his message. He didn't try to lure people with sweet talk just to get them to sign up. Oh, no. No bait and switch with Jesus. He spelled out up front what it costs to be his follower. Look at Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 34. One example. It says, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Notice that he is urging a crowd to follow him. It's not like he doesn't want large numbers of people to follow him. He wants them to join up. And yet he emphasizes the difficulty and the sacrifice. Years ago, I would try so hard to get somebody to become a Christian, to sign up, to become a Christ follower. When I was witnessing to a person, I would say, you know, you might die today and never have another opportunity to trust in Christ. I would think, you know, just do anything you can to get the person to pray the prayer. Sign on the dotted line, even if the person is hesitating. Do everything you can. But today, I do things differently. If I'm witnessing to you and you say to me, yeah, Randy, I want to become a Christ follower, I'll say, are you sure? You think maybe I could change your mind? Do you want to think about this for a little while? Because if you say you want to become a Christ follower, it's only fair to warn you that as soon as you become a Christ follower, there is a cross waiting for you to pick up. And you've got to follow him. Jesus says that you've got to give up your life for him, and not only for him, but for the gospel. Did you notice that in that passage? What he said. For my sake and for the sake of the gospel, that is, for making the message go viral. But if you say to me after I say all that to you, no way, I want to become a Christ follower. Sign me up today and point me to the cross. Then I'll say, good choice. Because guess what? You may never have another opportunity. You could die and go to hell today. But I warned you because I'd rather you refuse. I'd rather that you refuse than become a phony follower. We got too many of those today. Someone who mouths the sinner's prayer but never picks up the cross and walks away from that thinking, well, I've got fire insurance now. And never lives for Jesus. Never picks up the cross. Why is that so bad when that happens? Because a person keeps living that way with phony assurance. And phony followers, guess what? They hinder the spread of the message because they tell people, yeah, I'm a Christian, and they're warm in a pew maybe, but they're not living for the Lord. And that gives the Lord a black eye. and hinders the spread of the gospel. How about you? Have you picked up the cross to follow Jesus? He calls everyone. He calls the crowd. He calls you. No discrimination. Doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you. He wants you to become his follower. He promises to redeem you and transform you and give you eternal life, but he also recruits you to serve him and the good news so that it'll go viral. He recruited you to follow him and to spread the flame. Have you responded to that call? And if you have, are you following through on that call? The second step to going viral, point number two on your outline, is the Spirit empowers you. Now, maybe you're thinking, man, he recruited me? He recruited me for the viral spread of his movement? I don't think I can do it. Guess what? You're right. You can't do it. Neither can I. But don't despair. Help is on the way. So far, we've seen that Jesus, by himself, recruits 12 apostles, which turns into 72, and last we saw was at 120. Fast forward 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, he has appeared many times to his disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven, and he told them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. That's where we pick up in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when those 120 are gathered for prayer. The Holy Spirit comes upon them and fills them, just as the risen Jesus promised before he ascended into heaven. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, suddenly the movement shifts into high gear. The 120 are given the supernatural ability to speak in other languages, languages they had never studied, had never learned. This, by the way, required a miracle. Something that was impossible by natural means, that's important. Well, how did they do it? Well, they were empowered to do it by the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers, that's the 120, were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Man, even your smartphone can't do that. I don't think there's an app for that. Now, since it was the Jewish festival of Pentecost, there just happened to be thousands of people visiting in Jerusalem from all over the known world. The sounds of shouting praises to God in their own language quickly drew a big crowd because they were hearing these 120 people speak in their own languages from back home. The message was going viral, you see. The 120 had responded to Jesus' recruiting. They had picked up their cross. They had assembled together to wait on God in prayer. And then the Holy Spirit empowered them to do what they could never do on their own, 10 minutes before the Holy Spirit came on them like this, they would have sworn, I can't speak in any of those languages. But they did. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is the whole point of Him filling you. He gives us abilities to advance the kingdom of God, the good news message, abilities that don't come naturally to us. They're supernatural abilities. The Bible calls them spiritual gifts. And at least one gift is given to every person who becomes a Christ follower. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. When the big crowd gathered, the apostle Peter, he stood up and he delivered a powerful sermon. He had never done that kind of thing before. He had this new ability. And in that sermon, he declared that Jesus had been raised from the dead and exalted to God's right hand. Let's look at it. Pick up in chapter 2, beginning at verse 37. It says, when Peter got done, Peter's words pierced their hearts. They were under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There it is. The New Testament teaches that every believer receives the Holy Spirit. Now, the other part of the verse is often quoted, "Repent and you'll get your sins forgiven," and so forth. But often that next verse is left off. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you become a believer, you receive a spiritual gift. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, "A spiritual gift," that's that supernatural ability, "is given to each of us so we can help each other." It's a supernatural ability from the Holy Spirit. Yours may be the ability to teach, maybe kids, maybe teens, maybe adults. Or to show hospitality. That is a gift, to make people feel really welcome. We have people that do that here after our services and on Wednesday night, and people just feel so welcome. That is a supernatural ability. Or your gift might be to convey great wisdom, or to pray for people to be healed. And to see them healed more than somebody else praying for them would naturally do it, because God gives that gift. Or your gift might be to share the good news with lots of people and see many people come to Christ. There's some people that have that. It's a gift of evangelism. They sneeze and somebody gets saved. It's a spiritual gift. Or maybe it's to work with your hands. Work with your hands, with little handy duties kind of a thing, to help the church, to help people. Or your gift might be to interpret messages from the Lord, or to receive messages from the Lord. There are many different gifts. They're described in several passages, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, many different gifts that are described, but each gift is designed to help the church move forward in order to make more and better followers. They're not just given for you to feel good about yourself. Well, that might be a fringe benefit. But the reason they're given is to help the church move forward, to advance the kingdom so the good news can go viral. What's your gift? Are you using it? You know, lots of Christians neglect to unwrap their gifts. Let's say you come over to my house later today, and when you walk into the living room, you see a Christmas tree there, all decorated. Whole bunch of big, beautifully wrapped gifts underneath the tree. And you turn to me and you say, "Hey, Randy, it's only May. Isn't it a little early for Christmas?" And I say to you, "Well, actually, we're not early here, we're late. Because, you know, the Ream team, we've been so busy since December, we just have never gotten to it. Those gifts have been sitting there. We just never unwrapped them." That's not too likely to actually happen at the Ream household. We like opening those gifts ASAP. Is it likely to happen at your house? But you'd be surprised how many Christ followers are not using their spiritual gifts. Why? Simply because they've never found out what that gift might be. They haven't unwrapped it. Maybe you're thinking, "Well, how do I discover my spiritual gifts?" Well, we talk about this in our Exploring Stony Creek class, but let me just give you a quick little overview here of some steps. These are listed on your outline. First, be sure that you're a Christ follower. I mean, that's square one, that you really have believed on the crucified, risen Redeemer, and therefore the Holy Spirit has come into you to make you a new person. That's square one. Secondly, pray for God to show you your gift. It's there, but it sometimes might take some time for you to find it. Next, be willing to do anything God calls you to do. Anything is in big print, you see here. Anything God calls you to do. You see, it's up to Him what gift He gives you. You don't make the selection. He makes it for you. And you may have already told yourself in your mind, "Well, I would never do that." Well, what if He gave you a gift to do it, and you could do it? So you got to just clear the table and say, "Lord, I'm willing to do anything you want me to do. Just show me what that is." And then it becomes much clearer to you. Next, ask other Christians for input. Gifted people see gifts in others. Maybe you think your gift is working with kids or whatever it might be, and you think, talk with somebody who you see is really good at doing that and ask them, "What do you think? Think I could do this? You see some potential here in me and working here? Test it out." Next, take our spiritual gifts survey. We have this little assessment. We give it out in our Exploring the Stony Creek class, and it helps you. It's one way that you can check out what your gift is. You fill this out, and it helps you to identify what your spiritual gift is. And then we score it, and we try to help you get plugged into a ministry by doing that. If you would like to take that, fill out your response card and just request it, because we will send one to you. Maybe it's been a while since you've even been interested in this, and you would like to, just turn it in today and we'll send it to you. Francine, where's Francine? There she is. That lady there is our human resource person. She's the one who collates these. Send it back to her. She'll send you one. And, we can help you get plugged in and use your gift, which is the next point. Join a ministry team. Join a ministry team. You got to be moving. You got to be in motion to discover your gift. You will not discover it sitting on the couch. You got to get out there and play the field, all right, and see what you're good at. Get up and serve. Once you unwrap your gift, use your gift. Get plugged into ministry. The Holy Spirit always gives gifts to build up the church, to help Jesus go viral. Find your gift and hone your gift. Let's look at step three to going viral. The Lord multiplies you. You know, the funny thing about viral videos is that they nearly always come from ordinary people who simply had the smartphone on them at the right time to record something, or their video camera ready to capture that funny, that provocative moment, and the parent catches the little kid biting his brother's finger, and it's funny, and he puts it on his social media, and it just goes viral. They did their part, parents did their part, and then the social media does its part. Something similar happens when you plant that redwood tree. You put that little seed in there, maybe you water it, that's your part, and then nature, what God created, does its part, and there it goes, big. You do your part, God does his part. It's the same thing with the flame, folks. On that epic day, the day of Pentecost, the tiny seed that Jesus planted suddenly sprouted out of the ground, and once it started to grow, it didn't waste any time. Let's look at Acts 2:41. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Woo! 3,000. Hello, do I hear redwood tree? Do I hear viral video? They go from 120 to 3,120 in just an afternoon. How could such amazing growth happen? Is this a church on steroids? What's going on? They just built a new building? Is that no? They didn't have any facility of their own. What then? Well, look at verse 47. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Notice, this is the work of God, folks. The 120 did their part. God does his part. Whenever a person comes to Christ as Lord and Savior, a miracle happens. Just as surely as if a blind person is given sight, or a lame person is able to walk, or a dead person is raised up, the Bible teaches that when a person turns from his or her sins and embraces the crucified, risen Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, that person crosses over from death to life. It's an epic event. The Holy Spirit comes into you, makes you a new person. All your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. And you have a new master, Jesus, and a new family, the church. You are now part of that growing redwood that started way back with Jesus in the 120. So now it's 3,120 and growing daily. But that was just the beginning. The Jerusalem church continued to grow. A couple of chapters later, look what we read in 4:4. It says, many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000 men. The Greek word translated men here is andron. That means males. It's not just using men in a generic sense. And so, if there were an equal number of women and an average of 2 kids per family, which would be a small family by those days' standards, we're talking a Jerusalem church, folks, are you ready for this, of 20,000 people in Jerusalem. We start with Jesus, he recruits 12, then it becomes 72, then it becomes 120, then it becomes 3,120. There's daily growth to 5,000 males, which equals a church of 20,000 people in Jerusalem in a very short time. This growth continues in the book of Acts. The church grows and it spreads. Fast forward 30 years. When the Apostle Paul writes his letter to the Colossians, look at Colossians 1, verse 6. It says, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." Woo, there it is, over the whole world. Now, of course, still, even then, Christians were only a tiny minority in the Roman Empire. They would face many hardships and savage persecution, but they did their part. They picked up the cross and they followed, just as the Lord calls us to do today in our depraved society. At that time, there were two men in the Roman Empire who were hailed as the Son of God, Jesus Christ and the Roman Emperor, Caesar. Two. But the redwood tree continued to grow, the flame continued to spread, generation after generation. Fast forward 300 years. 300 years. And guess what? A full 50% of the Roman Empire claims Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the emperor, who once demanded that people worship him, had shrines built to him, declared himself to be the Son of God, he now declares himself to be a humble servant of Jesus Christ, his Lord and his God. He now forbids shrines to be erected in his name. He requires all his soldiers to proclaim on every Sunday that the Christian God is the one and only true God. He donates huge sums of money to churches. He even orders gold coins that bear his image to depict him looking up, as if looking up to God in prayer. It's absolutely amazing. Ordinary Christ followers just picking up and following Jesus Christ, using their spiritual gifts in their churches, eventually brought about this great conversion of half the Roman Empire and the emperor, so-called Son of God, at the feet of the true Son of God in worship. Today, a third of the world's population claims Christ. That's a huge number. If even just a fraction of that is genuine. Going viral is what God does when we follow Jesus. What's God's plan for Stony Creek Church? Do you want Stony Creek to become a redwood? Or just stay a dogwood? I don't know. That's up to him. But my part and your part is to respond to his recruitment, to pick up the cross, to discover and use our spiritual gifts in ministry, and to pray like those disciples prayed, waiting on God for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to fill us and empower us so that we can do his work supernaturally, right? Come redwood or dogwood, that's our role. The rest is up to him. Let's prepare ourselves now for the conclusion of our service. We're going to have the ushers come to prepare for the offering, and the musicians are going to lead us in a closing song. If you're here today and you would like to become a Christ follower, come on down. We'd love to talk with you. Our pastoral prayer team is down here in front. Would love to talk with you about how you can do that. Or maybe you have another need that you need somebody to pray with you or for you. Come on down. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. That's here too. Or maybe you just want to pray by yourself. You can do that over here. Let's not miss this opportunity if God is calling us to some action right now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this good day. And I pray, Father, that you would do your work in our church. And I pray that we would respond to that call. I pray, Father, that you would bless this offering. May it be used for your kingdom and your glory. And may it be an act of worship on our part. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.